Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. The Dog Talk Show is brought to you by Invisible Fence Northwest. For the life of your pet, visit InvisibleFenceNW.com and check out all of their fabulous services and products. And don't forget to tell them about the Dog Talk Show fan discount of $100 off of a containment system. We are here today with I'm here today for a very special show with, hi Eric, with my booth engineer.
Hey, good afternoon, Julie. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
You know what?
What?
It's a great day to take your dog for a walk.
It is. Good point.
Absolutely perfect
it
weather
is.
For that.
So. It is. It's not too hot, nice and sunny. Great day to take your dog out for a walk, even maybe go somewhere new.
That's right. And the great thing about the Dog Talk Show being on radio is that it's portable.
It is.
So you can take it with you to the park.
Well, we're also on iTunes.
There you go.
So it's super portable.
That's right.
Yeah, portable anytime, anywhere,
mm-hmm.
all over the world. We have a great show today. We have Judith Piper, who's the founder of Old Dog Haven, a very, very special organization that is local. They find basically permanent foster homes for senior dogs, dogs that may not be too old but are in their golden years, or perhaps dogs that are nearing the end of their life. They find homes for them and get them out of shelters, and I think it's amazing work. We're going to be talking with Judith, who's the founder of Old Dog Haven, at the beginning of the next segment. Before that, though, a couple of announcements. Bowling for Bullies is this Sunday, the 26th, at West Seattle Bowl from 1:30 to 4:30. You can email bowlingforbullies@gmail.com to find out more information about that. It benefits Bullseye Dog Rescue. The Vashon Sheepdog Classic is October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at Misty Isle Farms in Vashon Island. From dawn to dusk, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you can check out vashonsheepdogclassic.com, I believe. But the website for all of these is posted on the Dog Talk Show website, dogtalkshow.com. To find out more information about that. Looking forward to that one for sure. I have been reading this book. I got all four of my wisdom teeth pulled last Thursday. So fortunately, I've had some time to heal before the show. Otherwise,
you're looking remarkably well for someone that's gone through that.
Yeah, it's it was, you know, it wasn't really. Honestly, it wasn't that bad. I have a great dentist, and it really wasn't, you know, I wouldn't rush back. Fortunately, I don't have to do it again because they're all gone and they don't grow back, but wasn't too bad. But I had time to read, which, you know, I don't usually. I have a stack of books that I want to read and will read, but it's going to take me some time to get through. I did have some time to read, and I read the book that I'm almost done with now called Pet Food Politics by Marion Nestle. Oh my God, Eric, that it talks about the pet food recall, like day by day, all and tells
now
you about.
You're talking about the recent one that happened
in 07.
Right, there was 07.
Melamine laced wheat flour that was being sold as wheat gluten. So I knew a little bit about the recall and all that as it happened. Of course, I was paying attention, but this book goes into it in depth, and it is, honestly, it was one of those ones that I thought was going to be very informative, but like
very dry.
Kind, yeah.
You dry know, as like the kibble that she was talking about.
Right. Good one. But it was really, really like gripping. It was like day by day, you know, the drama of the pet food recall, insight into the activities of all the companies and the FDA and the USDA and Menu Foods, which was the manufacturer of the food, ChemNutra, which was the company that provided or that bought the wheat flour from China. So basically, just a little quick snippet from it. I highly recommend this book, Pet Food Politics by Marion Nestle. I'm trying to get in. Find out how to get in touch with her to get her on the show. Basically, China, this company, not China the country, but a company or a few companies in China, took wheat flour, laced it with melamine, and another byproduct, the name is escaping me right, cyanuric acid, which is high in nitrogen, which makes the wheat flour appear to be higher in protein. So they were passing it for wheat gluten.
Hmm.
Now, wheat gluten should not be in pet food anyway. So there's that, too. But so these companies bought this wheat flour. They thought it was wheat gluten because it appeared to have more protein in it because of the melamine. Sold it to this manufacturer in the U.S., and it was made, you know, it put in all of these foods. All these animals died as a result of it. It's just insane as you get it. I could go on and on about this, but you've got to read the book. And not only that, so not only are they selling wheat flour as wheat gluten, they're selling a product where it's actually got stuff in it that's killing animals, but it's also like passing so that the animals aren't getting the protein they need. So obviously totally wrong, bad, criminal stuff going on, appalling. They also sold another company in the U.S. the same wheat flour laced with melamine as a rice protein concentrate, which is why one of the companies in the recall list was Natural Balance, which was using this rice protein in their foods. But that's a food specifically designed for animals with allergies, and wheat is one of the highest allergy causing foods, and they were using wheat flour in this food. They didn't know, of course, but it was such a good book. I cannot recommend this book enough. Really lets you know how messed up this food system is and how everything is also intertwined, the pet food industry, the human food industry, and also the animal feed of what is fed to our livestock. It is unbelievable. Can't recommend this book enough. Obviously, I'm kind of on fire about it, but it was so good. Who recommended the book to me but the owners of the Natural Pet Pantry, one of our sponsors, locally made raw and cooked food diets. So it's so hard to find companies that you can trust. And that was so apparent when we had Susan Thixton of truthaboutpetfood.com on the show on, I think it was September 1st. Such a great interview. We had people calling in and reading the first five ingredients off of their pet food label. And then Susan was kind of telling us about what everything meant. And it was like, well, can't recommend that. Can't recommend that. Can't recommend that. It's like, oh, most of the foods out there, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
So, great book. And I'm going to work on getting Marion Nestle. If you're listening to the Dog Talk Show right now, I want you as a guest, please.
Hopefully she is.
I'm sure.
Yeah, that sounds good because, you know, I remember when this was happening, hearing about it being played out in the news every day. And there was so many pet victims, the recall. Well, not the recall itself, but obviously the tainted
the
food.
The contamination.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
Do you know how they were first alerted that something was wrong?
No, I don't recall.
80% of animals in palatability tests, meaning like they test on animals to try to see if the animals will eat it or if they will choose that food over other foods, died.
Wow.
Yeah. That's not a good sign.
No.
And that probably indicates an immediate recall. The FDA doesn't even have the power to demand that a company recall. It's all voluntary. It's so... Okay.
Because it's pet food?
The FDA is hurting big time for everything. They're understaffed and their resources were cut and their responsibilities increased. Please read the book, Pet Food Politics by Marion Nestle. And if, you know, somebody, she has a Facebook page, so you could get on there and say, we want you on the Dog Talk Show.
Mm-hmm.
Get in touch with Julie, host@dogtalkshow.com. Can you tell that I'm all fired up by this book?
I can tell.
Yeah, just a little bit. Also fired up, what's happening this Sunday? Silver Bullet?
Yes.
Yeah, my little Leia is running. Leia, my dachshund, is running during halftime at the Seahawks game this Sunday at Quest Field for an exhibition wiener dog race. through Wienerfest Northwest, and she's racing. And we're going to be there during halftime on the field at Quest Field. I'm so excited. Seahawks are playing the Chargers. Nice. Oh, so watch that game. I don't know if they're going to televise it because they have to go to their halftime shows and stuff, but you can be as long as I'm allowed to, I will be videotaping on site and I will be posting videos on the Dog Talk Show website and the Facebook page and all that because I've finally opened a YouTube account. Anyway, you can look at Leia's winning race at Wienerfest Northwest, which was in Elma, Washington recently. And that was the race that got her into this, that got her this gig because she won her heat and we've been practicing. And her, the final version of her spandex silver shiny outfit is due to arrive any day.
You could make a case for this being the championship, but with the other thing being the playoffs, really.
You could. You could. There's going to be two heats of six dogs each. And
now, see, normally most people wouldn't want their dog to be in heats. But in this case, it's all right.
Anatomically, Leia is not able to be in heat, but she is in this racing heat, and I'm so excited, and it's going to be a blast. So do we have a song lined up as we exit for Leia? All right, we're going to take a break, and this is for Leia, and we'll be back with Judith Piper and Old Dog Haven after we come back from this break. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Kemley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Next Monday, Vicki talks to dermatologist Howard Murad. He'll debunk myths about hydration and inflammation, and also dream coach Joyce Chapman answering listener questions.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
Forget their space and come check out our space on the web, 1150kknw.com, and find out about Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Give me one more.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. I wish I could sing like Whitney.
That might hurt.
That would be amazing.
Your dog's ears, so.
Oh, that would be amazing to just be able to belt it like that.
And Leia's got to be racing with destiny.
That, of course.
On Sunday.
Yes, Leia's moment in time this Sunday at the Seahawks game. We are here now with Judith Piper, founder of Old Dog Haven. Hi, Judith. Hi, Judith.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today about your wonderful organization. I'm so looking forward to sharing what you do with Dog Talk Show listeners and learning more about myself, learning more about Old Dog Haven myself. And I'll probably learn something about myself, too. So tell us what Old Dog Haven is and how did you get started?
Old Dog Haven, as it is now, is a network of a whole lot of foster homes. We have about 140 homes right now. We are all over Western Washington, literally Blaine down to Vancouver in the south, and actually we have two or three homes in Oregon, out on all the islands, the peninsulas. We're everywhere.
Mm.
And we, our object is to take care of homeless senior dogs, senior being defined as 8 years old and up. We are particularly interested in the very oldest dogs, and our idea is to keep them from dying alone, particularly in a shelter. Originally, we took in only shelter dogs. Now, I think particularly because of the economy, we are taking in more dogs directly from their owners.
Mm.
But the idea is that they die with love around them.
Mm. It's one of my favorite organizations I've ever heard of. And I, especially since I went through the death of my first dog, I had family dogs growing up, but Chewy was my first dog. I got him when I was 20 and he died almost exactly a year ago. And it's been one of the most profound experiences of my life going through that process and after and learning about myself and the grief and everything. But it is such a sacred, precious time to be with a pet or a dog when they are closer to the end of their life. There's just something so special about it. And I think especially when I see the older dogs in a shelter type setting, it feels like such a betrayal to me.
Yeah.
And so your organization is these wonderful, kind people all over Western Washington, as you said, who are opening their homes to take in animals and they know that they may pass away soon. I mean, in some cases, the animals may be there for just a short time. Is that right?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. There aren't as many of us that take the really, really, really hospice cases. My husband and I particularly do that. I have three other homes that are very willing, and I have had dogs for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, a couple of weeks.
Wow.
Most of the dogs we come in have a little longer. Mm-hmm. I think the average with us of the dogs that stay permanently, we do some adoption.
Mm-hmm.
But the final refuge dogs, the average is about a year, but it could be, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months, and we've had a few that have been 3 or 4 years.
Mm.
And we really think this is the very best time of their lives. I mean, it's really a privilege to be around them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, how did you start this?
we didn't think it was going to be like this.
Yeah.
My husband and I had lost a dog. We had a friend through another channel that had a small dog rescue, and we said, well, you know, do you have one that needs us? And she said, yes. And it was a story that now is very familiar to us, an old Labrador who they had adopted out several years before to a couple. The husband had Parkinson's. They got a chance to get into an assisted living facility and needed to take it. And the dog came back to Katie, and she was not ambulatory to speak of at all. She was so arthritic, and Katie was carrying her up and down the stairs to put her outside and just leaving her outside all day.
Mm.
And she was very unhappy, and Katie didn't know what to do with her and asked us if we would take her. And she changed really pretty rapidly in our situation, and we enjoyed it very much, very much, and said, boy, you know, this is a great thing. And then this same person called us from a shelter and said she'd been there, and some guy had just brought in his dad's 16-year-old dog and said, well, I put my dad in the nursing home, and I don't want the dog putting him to sleep. And she grabbed the dog and called me. I mean, what else would you do? You just grab the dog. And we did a couple of those for her and looked at each other and said, somebody needs to do this, and I guess it's us. And at that time, we expected that Lee and I would have, you know, a couple of dogs in our home at a time. And somehow it's changed.
Yeah.
Took on a life of its own, and we discovered how much it was needed and how many people were willing to help. And it's made something pretty amazing possible.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it so touches me so deeply, and it makes me want to just, you know, scream with joy that this is out there and just start bawling and screaming with anger too. But one thing that I don't understand, can you give me some more instances? Because I feel anger when I think of these, when I, you know, these old dogs that get put into a shelter. And I know in some situations it's not just a neglect issue or something like that. But what are some different reasons, sort of like the most common reasons why a senior dog would find themselves in a shelter environment?
You know, you can't always tell. An awful lot of dogs are picked up, quote unquote, stray, when you know that in truth it was the family that brought the dog in or something like that. But our guess is, from what we know and what we imply, is that at probably half of them belong to seniors. And either they die, they go to a care facility of some kind, they can't keep the dog, they can't take care of the dog themselves, and the family said, sure, we'll take care of it, and either that was telling them a story and they had no intention, or more frequently, I think, they get the dog home and realize that they're leaving it alone for 12 or 14 hours a day, and the dog is having accidents in the house, and the dog is miserable, and boy, this is a lot more than I bargained on. And so they take the dog to the shelter. Or I think that's a large part of it. Right now, the whole thing, I think, has been changed because of the economy. So many people are losing their jobs and losing their homes, and they can't keep the dog, and they're giving up dogs that I think they, and cats too, of course, that I think they would have never done. But beyond that, you have the people who can't deal with aging. We just actually, my home took in temporarily, I hope, a dog on Sunday that was brought into the Kent shelter, which is a very busy, very, very busy. That's all I can
overwhelmed,
say.
Overwhelmed, yeah.
Yes, overwhelmed shelter. Brought a lovely dog, purebred dog that they had adopted a long time ago from the purebred rescue. Brought her down and said, put her to sleep. They drove a long distance to have the shelter put her to sleep. And the shelter said, what's wrong with the dog? Well, they gave this long list of things, most of which aren't true, one of which is that she has laryngeal paralysis, which is very common in older dogs of certain breeds, and it can be life-threatening, but is not at this point. There's really very little wrong with this dog other than she's probably 13-ish year old. She's a very nice dog. She probably was having accidents in the house from being left in too long, but she's certainly not incontinent. And it was easier to simply drive down to the shelter and say, here, take my dog. And we get that a great deal. I think a lot of times people get into positions that they don't know what to do. The dog is too much of a burden for one reason or another, and whereas I might say I'll live in my car before giving my dog up, many people, reality comes in, they can't.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say I'm less angry at people for giving up their dogs than I used to be, because I'm hearing all the stories and lots of tears from people who have to give the dog up. And I might do it differently, but I think sometimes people honestly don't know what else to do. And they're cowards a lot of times. Many of these dogs should have been taken to a veterinarian and put to sleep gently with their owner there to hold them. But people are cowards. They don't want to do it, so they leave it for someone else. And I think that happens a great deal. And probably those are the vast majority of these things I've just said, are the vast majority of the dogs who end up either in shelters or left beside the road or left in the house when people move or all the other crummy things that people do. You know, but it's that is the way it is, and we find that we can't waste our energy being angry at the people. You just have to deal with the dog, and you know you can give them a better life now for a while.
Yeah.
I go back to what you said about the betrayal, and that to me is the thing that makes me cry. There's some of the dogs that really never get over the betrayal.
Yeah.
And those are the very, very difficult ones for me.
Yeah.
But most dogs are so adjusting, forgiving, trusting creatures that if you offer them love and a nice place to be, they're pretty okay with it.
Yeah. Well, we are going to take a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Judith Piper, founder of Old Dog Haven. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
My dog will always come through. All he asks from me is the food to give him strength. All he ever needs is love, and that he knows he'll get. So I love my dog as much as I love you.
Many dogs love to ride in the car, but boy, they can really do a number on the interior with their nails and teeth. Did you know that you can have the interior vinyl and leather dents and tears repaired rather than having to replace an entire section or door? Color Masters Northwest offers leather, vinyl, and velour restoration with the option of on-site repairs and affordability of saving you from having to order a whole new part. You don't have to wait to replace your entire door or console. Just call Color Masters Northwest and have your dog's unsightly handiwork repaired quickly and affordably. Call 425-681-9355 or visit colormastersnw.com to schedule an appointment today. That's 425-681-9355 or online at colormastersnw.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. This week, it's the last Sunday of the month, and that means it's shelter, rescue, sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll check on the birds in Bellingham, the horses in Marysville, and the lions, tigers, and bears, oh my, well, not quite, at Sarvey Wildlife Care Center in Arlington. Plus a surprise or two on Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Let's play 10 questions. What is new at KKNW?
Real estate radio.
What's the show about?
Real estate.
Actually, Val, we focus on buying, selling, owning, and financing residential real estate.
That's right, at the ground level, where most of us live.
Who are you guys?
Well, I'm Rob Gray, a broker for John L. Scott in West Seattle.
And I'm Craig Goble with Cascade Pacific Mortgage.
We're both active real estate professionals, and we're in the trenches every day.
Don't miss Real Estate Radio at its new time, at 2 o'clock every Thursday here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Stay informed with news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour, weekdays on Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
So I love my dog as much as I love you.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we are back with Judith Piper, founder of Old Dog Haven. Welcome back, Judith.
Thank you.
Deep breath. So, Old Dog Haven is a network of over 140 homes in Western Washington that takes in senior dogs to give them a final place to live out the rest of their life surrounded by love. And sometimes that is years, sometimes it's months, and sometimes it's even days, it sounds like.
Yeah.
What a wonderful organization. And something we were just talking about, the word betrayal is a word that comes to my mind when I have seen old dogs in a shelter and the times that I've been at a shelter for one reason or the other. And you had said something in the last segment about the dogs not being able to get over it. And something that, you know, in my work with training and behavior, it's what I do as my full-time job when I'm not on air once a week, working with dogs mostly in Seattle, East Side, Greater Seattle area with training and behavior. And, you know, transition is hard for dogs. It's hard for people. It's hard for dogs. I mean, I've worked with lots of people who have just adopted a dog or rescued a dog from one situation or the next, and it's traumatic. And it takes dogs some time to adjust, as it does people. And I'm curious about, well, what you said specifically, but then to just talk more about that in general, about how you said the dogs sometimes don't get over the betrayal.
You know, most of them do.
Yeah.
It's the few of them that don't, and they break your heart because I think particularly as they're older, if they really can't come out of it, it's very difficult. Most of them do adjust, and I'm astounded at how some of these dogs who are very old, some of them, adjust so much more rapidly than we would expect.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they move a couple of times. You know, we do a reasonable amount of adoptions, and so the dog would come from the shelter or from their home into a foster home, and then we keep them usually 1 to 4 months, get their health back to good, you know, do all the deferred maintenance, and get them trying to stabilize emotionally and let them understand that change can be good and a new home is okay for dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that generalizes pretty well to the next home.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them, you know, they're used to living a certain way, particularly those that I think that have lived with elderly people and been a one-on-one situation, not much else going on, full-time companionship, and having a job to take care of that person. Those dogs have a rough time. And particularly if they come into one of our homes, a number of us have really quite a full house of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They can come in and you see their eyes get bigger and say, oh my goodness, what happened to me? Mm-hmm. You know, what happened to my life?
Mm-hmm.
And those are kind of tricky to find, to help them adjust to another way of living. And if we can find them another job, it's great. If we can't, I often feel like we haven't done them as much of a favor as we would like.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, I'm a real believer that sometimes it's not fair to pass the dog off at the very end of their lives because it just is too hard to adjust. They feel the betrayal and they would be better off not moving. It would be better to let them go at that point. But most dogs do adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how well they accept a heart that's open to them. And that's a schmaltzy thing to say, but I honestly believe that's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and two, I mean, if a dog was with an elderly person who passed away, I mean, you got to think that I know that dogs experience grief.
Oh, yes.
My dogs did when Chewy died. I mean, they were depressed. My dachshund cried on the way home from the vet. We brought them with us. So to not only be displaced and abandoned and all that stuff, but that they know that their owner's dead. And they have to go through their grieving process, too. So they've got that on top of everything as a stressor.
Oh, yeah. It's just a huge amount of loss.
Mm.
And it's, you know, old folks don't take change well, and that's the case with dogs, too. It's just, as I said, you know, better than humans, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of loss. Their home, their person, and their job, all at once.
Yep. Do you, and it sounds like you see dogs of all different types of breeds and...
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Do you see more larger dogs than smaller dogs or not necessarily?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
We did. From the beginning, we would have not very many small dogs. This last 9 to 9 months or so, we have been getting almost entirely small dogs, which horrifies me. I don't understand why that is.
Mm.
I'm not sure whether maybe oftentimes they're more expensive to maintain because you got to keep up the groomer and so many of them have things, you know, eye problems, ear problems, things that take a lot of expense. Maybe that's part of it. But no, we're just overrun. I keep saying, well, some particular breed must be on special, you know, these days because we are called about them all the time. But Shih Tzus seem to be Schnauzers, Chihuahuas, all those breeds. We're just having many, many of them.
Hmm.
Makes me sad.
Mm-hmm. So how do you, so you've got this, these, you know, many, many, many foster homes in Western Washington. How does the organization work as far as, do the people who take in the dogs, you know, with the thing with older dogs and probably a lot of the reason why they get displaced or abandoned in, like, as you said, in this economy, is the expense of caring for an older dog is generally higher than a young dog. So and I think I read that Old Dog Haven covers all the vet bills.
Yes.
So
all the dogs that are in our, either our foster program, which are dogs that we think will be adoptable, or our final refuge, which are permanent fosters,
mm-hmm.
we cover all the veterinary expenses, all their medication, prescription diets if those are needed, supplements if they are veterinary supplements, all that kind of thing. The mm-hmm. foster parent feeds the dog,
mm-hmm.
Unless it's a prescription diet, which is much more expensive, and they do the work. They take the dogs back and forth, and it's one of the things that makes it, you know, not everyone can do the foster job. You need to have time to get the dogs back and forth to the vet quite a good deal when they come.
Mm-hmm.
We find that there is a great deal of deferred maintenance on most of these dogs. The small dogs even worse, I think. And it often takes us at least a month, sometimes more, to get everything done. They all need a dental. They all need a lot of blood work and seeing the eye specialist and mm-hmm. all the kinds of things. So it's really quite expensive in the beginning.
Yeah.
Our vet bills last year averaged about $27,000 a month.
Wow. And where do you get, do you do this all through private donation? Or?
Yeah.
Wow.
We've occasionally had small grants from foundations, but it's all donors and lots of donors, many very loyal who keep at it with small amounts frequently.
Yeah.
We do have matching funds from Microsoft and other places that do that, which is a great thing.
Mm. Wow, that's amazing that you cover the vet expenses. And
it has to be. I mean, that's really the whole point of what we're doing, is that we know that that's why people say, oh, I can't take on a dog that age. You know, it's going to cost a lot. And it might.
Mm-hmm.
It might not. Some of them don't. But a lot of them do. And that our whole thought was that if we can take that worry away,
mm-hmm.
that more people would be willing to take these dogs in.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you ever had a situation where somebody's contacted you and said, you know, my heart is broken, I've lost my job, I can't, afford, and that they've kept the dog and you've covered the vet bills? Or is it always once the dog has been released to Old Dog Haven?
You know, it's interesting. We don't get that very often at all. We are, generally, when people have run out of finances enough, they simply want to give up the dog. Every once in a while, there is a major medical expense that we can help someone with, a particular surgery. We actually have paid for a number of euthanasias this last year when people couldn't even afford to do that. But mostly, that's out of what we can do because we have so many dogs ourselves. We have, you know, we're around 200 dogs all the time right now.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition, we're just not asked very often. Mostly, people get as far as they can, and then they just want to give the dog up and walk away.
Mm. The website is olddoghaven.org, so you can go and check out the organization and the website and find out ways that you can get involved and help support, whether it be you may be interested in fostering an animal, either short-term or as a final home, or, you know, as always, money, whatever you can give. A small or large donation, always a help, olddoghaven.org. Now, I think I saw a wish list as well. So what are some things in addition to money and foster homes, what are other ways people might be able to help?
We can use some supplies. We have, there's a list on our wish list page of dog food, things like Nature's Miracle, Advantage or Frontline, joint supplements, coat supplements, that kind of thing that we can always use. a bit of our problem is that we are so decentralized. It's hard for someone, for us to take all kinds of food and then spread them out
right.
between Arlington and Port Orchard or wherever it
right.
might be. So it's a little harder for us to accept that thing. We love gift cards from pet stores. That mm-hmm. helps a lot because
yep.
I can send them off to the various fosters.
Yep.
We have some need for volunteers, again, because we're so spread out. That's a tougher thing, but we have people who write thank you notes. We occasionally have fosters that can use some help with walking dogs, not very often, but occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
We have a volunteer flyer that you could contact us for if you wanted to do that. Spreading the word is a very good thing. We have a print newsletter and also an e-newsletter if you want to. You can look it up on the website and see how to contact us. We're happy to send that to you, and maybe you can pass it along. We have donation cans that if you had a favorite pet store or veterinary clinic you'd like to put one out and monitor it, we can do that.
Mm.
If we love it if people have little fundraisers for us. We've had a number of people do that and at their business or their club or whatever, and it's worked out really great.
Mm.
But that's the kind of thing we do, and we always hope that you'll think of an old dog if you want to adopt, or if mm-hmm. you have a friend who is looking for a dog and might be convinced to consider an older dog. The ones that we put up for adoption are generally 8 to maybe 11,
mm-hmm.
and we have done a lot of vet work with our dogs, so we pretty much know what their current health is.
Yeah.
You can't predict what will happen, but that's sure. also the case with any younger dog.
Right.
But at least right now, we think they're in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, our website has a lot of dogs that we have posted either for owners who need to rehome their dogs and have a little bit of time
mm-hmm.
to find the right home
mm-hmm.
or for other shelters and rescues.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you can pass the word about all of those. I find word of mouth just helps tremendously.
Yeah.
I mean, just tremendously.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we will be back with Judith Piper, founder of Old Dog Haven. In just a few minutes, you're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. This is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
Hi, I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animals Wednesdays at 3 p.m. As a medium, I talk with your companions live on air to find the answers to the questions you want to ask. Call in and ask about health, behavior, transitions in life, or anything else. Even talk with animals who have crossed over. Animals have wonderful things to say. Join us for a fun-filled and inspiring hour Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Talk With Your Animals with Joy Turner, the show you and your animal companions are going to love.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Spread the word. Your favorite shows are on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we're back with Judith Piper, founder of Old Dog Haven. Welcome back, Judith.
Hello.
Now, you said we were just talking about how people can help and how people can contribute. And there's financial donations, gift cards to pet supply stores. Like you said, it can be hard if somebody donates a 40-pound bag of food and you get it and someone on Bainbridge Island needs it. It can be hard to transport. So gift cards seem to be the preference, or money that you can use to whatever to help contribute to the vet bills. As you said, you average about $27,000 a month in vet bills.
We do.
Yeah. And you said, too, you have 20 dogs currently on your waiting list.
It changes every day.
And that's dogs that are on a waiting list for a foster home?
Yes.
Okay. So a great way to make a difference if you've got the space and the heart is to open your house to an old dog through Old Dog Haven and provide a dog with a final resting place for however long that may be. And something you had said earlier, Judith, that I really, really resonated for me, and that was a really important part of my decision when I found out that my dog had tumors and was bleeding into his abdomen, and I was sort of faced with this such a hard decision of do I, you know, and most of the vets were like, okay, well, here's what we can do, that, you know, chemo and surgery and all this stuff. And I was just kind of like, yeah, I don't know that, you know, and the odds were so, like, you know, so slim that it would even make a difference. And there was such a huge risk that he would die on the operating table and all that stuff. And how one of the main things that drove my decision was to prevent him from suffering. That was the first one. But that I wanted him to die in my arms. And that was so important to me that he went surrounded by love. Sorry, it was just almost a year ago. So that is, you know, when you said that, to give that to a dog, to have them in a safe, warm space with that energy around them as they pass on to wherever they go, so, so important. And I can... As emotional as it is, I can definitely see myself doing that in the future. I think in this culture, too, we're so uncomfortable with death. And what you said earlier, I think that's probably why a lot of dogs, as they get older, end up getting given away because people can't deal emotionally.
I think that's very true. And it's a shame. It really, you know, death is part of life. I had a dog that, you know, we had for a week, took him in for euthanasia, and the very caring vet said, you know, this is the circle of life. This is what happens. And I think we forget that.
Yeah.
We are afraid of death. The animals aren't. I see being with them as the way you keep them from being afraid. They pick up your fear.
Yeah.
They are afraid of being alone in a scary place.
Yep.
They're not afraid if you're with them and you're calm.
Yeah.
And it makes a huge difference, just a huge difference. We have pretty strong feelings, you know, my husband and I and those of us that are most involved in running this, about what we should, you know, what the right time to say goodbye is. And it's definitely a personal thing. Everyone has different approaches to it. But I think we have to think of it from the dog's point of view instead of ours.
Yeah.
And many times people can't bear to give up something they love.
Yeah.
And if you've had the dog for its entire life, your whole life is so wound up with it, all the memories, all the things that you've been through together, that it makes it very hard, I know.
Yeah.
No one wants to lose something they love. But we have it in our power to keep our dogs from suffering just because we can't let them go.
Right.
And I think that's really important. I do a lot of counseling people, you know, that just know about us and call up or send emails. And I hate to sound like everybody should go run right now and put their dog to sleep. But if you know that it's time, if you know the dog has come to the end of its lifespan, it's not comfortable, he's not happy, then I think it is your responsibility to let them leave the world gracefully and to be with them. Whether you believe it should be natural or you're going to have the veterinarian do it, you should be with them. It's just as much a betrayal to walk away from them at that point as to take them to the shelter and walk away from them. So I feel that really strongly.
Yeah, and it's hard, too, because this is true in the human with humans as well, but, you know, what I got as a response, and it's just how people are trained, but it's like, okay, you know, what can we do to prevent death? And it's like, he's old and he's got tumors. I mean, he's... And
but that's what the vet is trained to do.
Right.
That their job is to keep the dog alive as long as possible. Our job is to look out for the dog's best interest overall.
Yeah.
And emotional well-being is just as important as physical well-being to my way of thinking.
Yeah.
And I don't want, when I'm dealing with an old dog, and it's different. If your dog were 2 years old, you might look at it completely differently and say, well, he has a long life ahead of him if I can get him through this.
Yep.
But an old dog is so much less able to even recover from a surgery that's successful.
Right.
Or to fight off infection, just as old humans are. You know, it's why people die of pneumonia at the end of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't strong enough any longer to fight it off.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, your job is to make the end of the dog's life pleasant. I don't think it's pleasant to spend the end of their life in a vet clinic with strangers hooked up to things.
Yeah.
But that, you know, everyone makes their own decision about that. I don't think you need to accept the vet's offers of, well, we can do this and this and this. That's your job, is to decide what's the best thing for your dog.
Yeah. And somebody said something to me when I was going through this that made a big difference for me, too, because it's hard. You know, you don't know up from down, and I just tried to listen to my gut and keep, you know, Chewy's needs ahead of mine, clearly. But somebody said to me, nobody knows him better than you.
Yes.
And nobody knows what he needs. So trust yourself.
Yes.
And
very good advice.
And I knew that he needed me to be confident, and I wanted him to know it was okay to go.
Yeah.
And that's part of why I wanted to put him down and to show him somehow energetically or, you know, whatever, that it was okay to go so that he was free after he left his body.
That's really true. I think they hang on a very long time if you don't want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give them permission one way or the other,
yep.
I think.
Yep.
They'll be a good dog to the very end and try to do what you want.
Yeah. Well, we can talk more about this off-air too, Judith, but I know that one thing that I can offer would be because the transition, I know I've worked with this a lot, where dogs go through transition can have behavioral trouble, and
yes.
It's just a matter of getting them through that and getting them stabilized. But if it's needed, I would be happy to offer my services in that respect.
Wonderful.
At no charge, and I can do phone consultations because I know that you're so spread out.
Wonderful.
But I'd be happy to do that. I think that this is just obviously so near and dear to my heart, so needed, and it's just tied in with the rest of the mess of overpopulation, and another glaring reason why there should not be things like puppy mills mass-producing pets when we have dogs of all ages that are getting euthanized every day in shelters.
Absolutely.
It is not acceptable, and we have got to stop it.
Yeah. Oh, believe me.
Yeah, I
believe
know.
Me. We did a lot of work with the puppy mill raids that were January of 2009, and oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely, in the end, spay-neuter is the only way that this is all going to change.
Well, Judith, unbelievably, we're out of time. This just has flown by for me, and it's been so great to have you on the show. Thank you for what you do, and I will also be thinking as far as fundraisers and all that type of stuff. And please, listeners, if you can help and contribute in some way, olddoghaven.org, it's just such a wonderful organization. Thank you so much for the work that you do, Judith, and I will be in touch.
Oh, thank you so much for your interest.
Okay.
Nice to talk to you.
All Thanks. Right. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we'll be here next week. This Sunday is Leia's big race, and we'll let you know how that goes
Go
next
Leia.
Week. Go Leia. And enjoy this sunny day with your dog. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.